Sister Julie Beck is the general president of the Relief Society of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The first president of that organization was Emma Smith. Sister Beck is a former counselor in the Young Woman General Presidency. She is the mother of three children and the grandmother of 10. We are greatly honored to also have her speak to us today.
Thank you, all of you. It's been a privilege to be here in this meeting. As you probably noticed, President Clark has the kind of a mind that doesn't need reminders. He can open up his scriptures and just know where things are. And Sister Beck has tabs and coloring markers. I learn in a different way. And I think that's okay. It's okay for all of us to learn different ways. Oftentimes I'm envied of mine like President Clark's, but that isn't the mind I got. So I'm appreciating the one I have. I would like to amend the biography that's been read twice today. I have 11 grandchildren. And the last one was not born between graduation and the complication. But he was born quite recently. I've been thinking in this particular convocation of one of my great-grandmothers, Ida Minerva Rollins Hamblin, who was the daughter of pioneer parents. And she ended up living back on the Pioneer Trail up in the Bridger Valley, right along the Black's Fork River. And the Pioneer Trail went through their farm. Ida Minerva and her husband, Wallace, had a small cabin. They had left a brick home in southern Utah and decided they would be homesteaders in Wyoming and have a better opportunity. And they never really made up the difference that they, what they lost. They lived in a log cabin and they carried their water up from the river into their home. One day, along that Pioneer Trail came a peddler, and he was selling volumes of music, leather-bound. Think of this woman, with very little means, out on the Pioneer Trail without a musical instrument within about 20 miles, and a peddler is selling leather-bound volumes of fine music, Chopin, Bach, Mozart. She bought them. And she built a little corner shelf in that log cabin and put the music on that shelf. Why would she do that? When she didn't read music, she didn't have an instrument, and there was no hope of that ever happening. Ida had a son named Marcin, who was my grandfather. And my Grandpa Hamblin couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. He loved music. When he sang, we covered our ears. He was wise enough to marry my Grandma Duella, who had a very natural aptitude for music. Grandma Duella could play the piano by ear, and she could read anything, and she had the opportunity as a young adult to go to Salt Lake and go to LDS Business College, and there she was part of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir for a couple of years. So that was her opportunity. Along came my mother, who grew up in the middle of the Depression, and her family didn't have much. They had a piano, which my grandpa Marcin won by entering foot races and being a high jumper. And anytime he won some money, he put it toward a piano for grandma, and it was the first piece of furniture they bought. So they had a nice upright piano, which now is in my family room. But my grandparents wanted their children to enjoy and appreciate music. And one day, my mother went home from school and said that there was a band being formed at school. She could be part of it if she had a musical instrument. Well, the only instrument they had was the upright piano. But Grandpa Marcin, who couldn't carry a tune in a bucket or read music, took his prize pistol and traded it for a silver trumpet. And my mother was able to be part of the band. Mother is 84, and on the 4th of July, she stood out in her front yard and played to the colors while the flag was raised. She can still play the trumpet. Now, my generation came, and some of you are lucky enough that you're hearing me now for the third time. You heard me tell about my parents who set some goals on their honeymoon for their family. Well, my mother decided that all her children would learn to play the piano. 10 children and piano lessons was an interesting mixture in our home. And some of them were easy and some of them were not, and I was not an easy one. I learned to play the piano some, and some of the others learned to play well. And my mother didn't give up on her goal. I have a sister who lost her hearing when she was 2, and she plays the piano better than I do because she applied herself. Then came my children. Somehow, the generation of my children, we had the time and the finances and the opportunity to invest in true musical training. I had grown up seeing those leather-bound volumes of music in my parents' home, and I now treasure them. I decided that I would make up for the difference to my Grandma Ida, who had sacrificed so much. And my children called me the drill sergeant about piano. I called the piano our cow. They had to get up at 5 in the morning and practice the piano because we didn't own a cow. It was our way to teach them to work. We often drove 2 hours one way to piano lessons to study with professors who we respected. And there were times when that was a real struggle in our home. When I wanted to quit, I thought of Grandma Ida and those books and her dream. There's a scripture that teaches about that in the Doctrine and Covenants in section 58 that says, "For after much tribulation come the blessings. Wherefore the day cometh that ye shall be crowned with much glory." When I thought of the opportunities that my children had and the little bit of work we had to put in to make that dream happen, I knew that someday I would face Grandma Ida, and I couldn't say to her, "Oh, it was just too hard." So we kept at it. We ended up with 3 children who are wonderful pianists. None of them majored in music, but they all played well enough to teach piano as they went through the university and paid their entire tuition, housing, and books off of the money they made from teaching piano. Our youngest daughter graduated with an American Studies degree, but she still has 20 piano students. She said it's because they kept getting passed down from her siblings, and she's the youngest, and no one else will take them. But she enjoys that, and she now is a mother of 2 children, and in her home, there is music and laughter and singing because of the investment. She has a daughter who will dance and sing to any songs. What we have here in these wonderful graduates and in all of us that have our opportunities is an opportunity to build on the shoulders of giants and to fulfill the dreams of our forefathers and foremothers who wanted to invest in great things and often didn't have the opportunities. I think of our oldest daughter who graduated with a degree in cartography and geographic information systems. And after going to graduate school, she married and is now the mother of 6 children. There isn't much time for cartography for a mother of 6 children. If you visit her home, you will see the maps of the world prominently displayed in every room of her home. And it's very fun to have a 3-year-old grandson who can name the major rivers of the world. That's because he has a mother who learned something important and is sharing it in her home. All the skills we have and gain here, the drama, the music, the writing, the singing, all of it is to help bless our homes and build the Lord's kingdom. Many people have gone before us and paid a great price and invested to a point in a dream. And in this generation comes the fruition of many dreams to many of you. I hope and pray that the Lord will bless you to go forward with the skills and the gifts you've attained here in this wonderful university to bless His kingdom. I've had the opportunity in my life to learn some languages, to be able to speak not only English, but Portuguese and Spanish. I learned Portuguese as a girl growing up in Brazil. I spent 5 years there. I wondered sometimes why I would have that opportunity. And now, as I am called upon to speak to the world, I have found that I can speak to 87% of the members of this church in my own voice. What a blessing the Lord gave me to have that learning in my early life. Take every opportunity that you have. You never know where you will be. I have in my office a picture of me and my graduation from BYU. In the picture, next to me is President Monson. Next to him is then President of BYU, Elder Holland. And next to Elder Holland is Sister Barbara Smith, the Relief Society General President of the church, who was at that convocation. Little did I know all those years ago that that picture would contain two general presidents of the Relief Society, future prophet and future apostle. We never know where the Lord will take us and use us, but if we use all the gifts and abilities He gives us in all these opportunities and put them on His altar and offer them for His use, He will give us a great ride. I bear you my testimony of the truthfulness of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the promise the Lord gives us that if we stay close to Him, He will guide us and give us a wonderful life. Of that I bear testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.